Rabble, rabble.
Continue, continue.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yup. Life's beautiful.
Oh my goodness. Okay, do you want me to, you want to go?
Push the thing.
Balls, a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy.
Hi, Miss. What's up?
Oh, you know, just living the dream, catching up on my anime, had the Haunted House auditions today.
Oh, how'd that go?
I think it was fine. It was fun because this was actually the first time I think that we got to actually audition in the haunt. Usually it's just like some mock little room and you kind of pretend.
Yeah.
So we were actually given like a little scene area to go.
Oh, that's fun.
Use. Every year we're given like props and stuff to like if we wanted to incorporate, but it was fun to be back in the haunt.
Ooh, back in the swing of things. Back in the spooky season mood.
Yup.
I like it.
I put the Mickey on.
Loving it. It's a little Halloween Mickey. It's a little rainy and it's beautiful outside for me.
I know. And it's not too hot, not too cold. So it's going to be fall weather, which makes me excited.
What's your perfect date? It's not too hot. It's not too cold. You just need a light jacket. So what are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about season 4, episode 13. Lucky number 13.
Ooh.
After school special. And this episode came out January 29th, 2009, and takes place in Fairfax, Indiana.
Ooh. Home of Truman High School.
Home of classy Truman High. Dean's favorite.
Classy.
Dean's absolute favorite.
You want me to give you a plot?
Yes, I would love a good plot.
We're just diving right into it today. I like it. Diving in. Okay, Sam and Dean discover that a spirit is haunting one of their old high schools. I like how it's one of their old high schools. I wonder how many high schools they actually went to.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, because they were only there for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And obviously, Dean had it. He was a senior.
Senior stud.
Was he, though?
I mean, in his head, he was.
Because, and you got to think about it. At that point, Sam was already over it.
Yeah. Poor Sammy. Okay, so while investigating the haunting, Dean and Sam relive their high school experiences through flashbacks, recalling how Sam was picked on by a school bully while Dean was Mr. Popular. Initially, they believed it to be a ghost of a friend of Sam's who killed himself the year after they left, but when the ghost attacks Sam and calls him by name even after they burn the friend's bones, they realize it's someone else. They learn that the ghost haunts the bus and possesses people on the bus, and realize the bus driver is the father of the kid who bullied Sam, Dirk. Sam beat him up in a fist fight before they left school, and he gave him the nickname Dirk the Jerk. The brothers learn that Dirk's father, that he died at the age of 18 before graduation, and that he lived a hard life, losing his mother shortly before Sam met him and gaining a lot of anger as a result of that. He got picked on a lot. The kids called him Dirk the Jerk. After learning that Dirk was cremated and that he is tied to a lock of hair kept on the bus, Sam and Dean confront Dirk while he possesses two people, and Dean burns his hair, destroying Dirk's
spirit. In a Bible.
That was a lot of hair, too. I don't think Dirk had that much hair.
I mean, I guess my thought, because I thought the same thing, I was like, that's pretty long. Like, that's almost Sammy long. But, like, if they had, like, attached the rubber band, like, as close to the scalp as possible, okay, maybe. Yeah. Based on, like, that kid.
You know what it looked like, though? Like, it was one of Boo's pigtails from Monsters, Inc.
Oh, kind of did.
That's what it looked like to me.
Oh, kind of did.
Okay. Burns the hair, so that destroys Dirk's spirit. In the end, Sam visits a teacher who gave him the advice to follow his own path in life, but is unable to respond when asked if he's happy.
Mr. Wyatt!
Such a nice guy.
English studies.
Doesn't believe that they fought vampires, though. Or werewolves, sorry.
Well, I mean, can you blame him?
No, I don't.
He's from a family of doctors.
But he's like, this was supposed to be nonfiction, Sam.
Yeah, well,
it's like, I know.
Sam's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be gone in a week. I don't care what grade you give me. It doesn't matter. I was more surprised in this season, and I'm also now curious for, like, any other schools they went to, that they used their real names.
Yeah.
They were enrolled in those schools as Dean and Sam Winchester.
Yeah.
They didn't have any kind of alias. Like, I would think if you're moving from school to school to school doing that kind of thing and obviously having no background. But also, but Sam went to college. Yeah. He would have had to have gotten a GED.
Yeah, I would think. The whole school thing, I don't, like, I don't.
Now that I just I opened up a worm in my brain where I was just like, okay, but Sam just left the family business and went to college. But to get into that good college to be a lawyer, I would think you would have to have had like a pretty good GPA, good grades, like
yeah,
a good transcript. And
I don't feel like every, you know, month or so they could be going to a different school.
No, I feel like that's a flag for a lot of places.
Maybe Sam was like one of the first homeschool kids.
Or Sam had zero problems just hacking into a system and creating a transcript.
Oh, maybe. Sam could have been sneaky. Do you think Sam would have been that sneaky, though?
I mean, he's always on free Wi-Fi.
That's true. Even in abandoned houses that clearly don't have any Wi-Fi near them.
I love... So I didn't necessarily like the actor who was playing, like, Teen Dean.
I that's Brock. Yeah, I didn't really...
Brock Kelly.
No relation. He did look like Dean, though. Like, I give him that, kind and he of. Talked like Dean.
Yeah, but I don't know. I also felt, and I guess maybe it's because I was like, okay, but it's not Dean, where I was just like, okay, this kid obviously, like, watched a couple episodes and got, like, some of the mannerisms down, but I felt it felt too much of, like, acting like Dean without feeling like Dean.
I have a tiddly bit about that.
Ooh, I can't wait.
I miss the other kid that played Dean, that cute little boy.
Well, he can't play a teen, which is also confusing because this like kid a, is the we same, jumped.
This Sam is the same Sam as...
Yeah, it's Colin Ford. He was 8 in A Supernatural Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And he's 13?
Like 13, yeah.
In this? So, like, they obviously had the same kid, but obviously, like, they had to do some kind of age jump for Dean because we went from, like, real cute kid to, like... Okay, that was the other thing that was kind of confusing in this episode, because Colin Ford was the same kid who played Sam.
Right.
And we're going to go with he's 13 in this. So that would have been 5-year difference.
Uh-huh.
You're going to tell me Dean, like, hit puberty, slimmed down, like, because no offense to, like, that kid. And I wish I knew that kid's name who played young Dean.
Oh, I can't remember it right now.
But he had a slightly rounder face.
He was adorable.
And he was adorable. And literally in 5 years, you're going to tell me that, like, I mean, I know puberty can smack some people, but, like, he got flattened with puberty. Like, what?
Was that Ridge?
No, it might have been.
I think that was Ridge Canapé or whatever.
That sounds right.
Yeah, it is. It's Ridge. Adorable little Ridge.
He was real cute.
So cute.
I don't know. I just, I like Dylan Everett, I didn't even mind as much.
Yeah.
I don't know. This one, it just felt too.
I would tell you though, that Brock has brown eyes and Jensen has green eyes. So that just lost it for me there.
That just like destroyed the whole facade.
Yeah. I was like, psh, that's not Dean.
It was cute to see them go back to school. And it was nice to see them. Like their school lives, and like that's exactly kind of how it. I don't know. There's a lot of things that this kid as Dean did that I was just. I mean, maybe it was how Dean was in school, but it just.
We kept calling the teacher like honey or whatever, sweetheart, sugar. Oh, bleh, no.
I don't need books here, sugar. Yeah. Meanwhile, Sam's got like his first day of school outfit. He's got his backpack, like his trapper keepers.
He's all ready to go.
He's set. And Dean's just like, man, I don't need it. It's fine.
I got my leather jacket and my samulet, and I'm ready to go.
Which ages just as nice as he does.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, props to that girl. Because what she said, I mean, was mean, but Dean needed to hear it from somebody that was a little more mature than he was.
Right.
And also, like, no offense, you obviously know she's a good girl, and she literally caught you quote-unquote cheating or making out, whatever you guys were
in the janitor's closet,
which obviously she's gonna know where you make out, dumbass.
Yeah, pick a different closet.
God, get creative.
You can't keep going to the same one with different girls.
They're gonna figure it out.
They're gonna find out. No one's gonna know. She's gonna find out.
When I think too, I was also again slightly surprised at how loose-lipped Dean was with everything.
We're yeah.
Like, yeah, it's me and Sammy. We got our own motel. We got magic fingers. It's a real sweet setup. Dad's gone. He's not going to be back for a couple of weeks. And like, that's all fine and everything, but you're a senior in high school. So we're going to go with, this is probably the beginning of the year. So you're 17.
Yeah, probably.
17. Your brother's obviously probably around 13, 14.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no one, no parent there for weeks?
No parent.
In a hotel, motel, Holiday Inn?
He's like, shit. Hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. He's like, shit, we've been doing this since I was 4.
And then nothing. She's like, I'm sorry, what?
He's like, let me take you to some of my other flashbacks from previous episodes.
Do you want the Christmas one? It's a good one.
I went and stole Barbie for Sam.
Broke into someone's house, took all their Christmas gifts.
I even make him SpaghettiOs.
But this one was also very, like, emotional?
It was emotional.
Because you really get to see, and I mean, I haven't been in high school in a while, and I don't think you've been in high school in a while.
No, I haven't.
I doubt, like, bullying has changed.
Probably not. It's probably worse now.
Because there's so many other ways to bully somebody.
Yeah, it's not just face-to-face or pass-the-note bullying. Now it's, like, internet bullying and, yeah.
And it just goes to show you to stop, take a second, and you might think it's funny, but you honestly have no idea what anyone is going through.
That's so true.
I mean, in this season, in this episode alone, you had a suicide and an overdose,
mm-hmm.
because of bullying and not understanding that person.
Right.
And just not being kind and considerate. Because Barry? It was Barry, right? Sam's friend. Barry, and that wasn't Harry.
And Barry.
Barry.
Yeah.
He committed suicide in the girls' bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Young. And then there was Dirk, who Sam goes, I never knew he had. And that's another thing too, people displace things. Like, obviously the dad didn't have time to focus on his child since he was working 3 jobs,
right?
But he knew something was wrong, but the help was never sought for that kid, so he displaced it into being mean and bullying because he didn't know anything else, because he wanted to seem strong, because every other aspect in his life he was weak, because he wasn't able to help his mom, he wasn't able to save her. And then he ended up dying from an overdose because he was teased, because he fell hard into drugs and alcohol to get away from all that.
Yeah.
So you had this weird aspect of seeing Sam and Dean's background with also like this touch on bullying and how serious it is an issue and how susceptible kids are, especially during like the middle school, high school years.
I was just trying to think of what Sam said to him at the end, like, everybody, you know, it sucks, but we all get through it, or something like that.
And it's hard because, like, you don't know that at the time.
Right, yeah.
Especially when you have no one. Like, I'm sure when Sam was there and he was hanging out with Barry, that was kind of like a little light for Barry. Even though Barry obviously was looking, and something had to have changed, because during that part, he's like, look, I just got to tough this out for like 3 more years and then I'm going to college. I already know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a vet. And
yeah, what happened with that? Because Barry seemed
to... He had a plan.
Yeah. Like, I know that I'm going to get through this and... It's not going to last forever.
And something obviously had to have changed after Sam left. And maybe it was the fact that, like, Barry didn't have anybody again. And
yeah. Poor Barry.
I know. I was also very... I thought the facades that they brought to the high school were a little interesting. Obviously, Sam was the one behind it. I'm just curious. Sam was just like, you know what? I'm going to be behind the scenes. I'll be a janitor. You be the step-in gym instructor. Because that seems like a great idea.
Oh, the shorts, the whistle,
everything,
the headband. He blasts that kid in the stomach with a dodgeball.
He literally pelted a child, and then the kid got a bloody nose. He's just like, take a couple laps, walk it off, you'll be fine.
Kid's like 2 feet from him, he just blasts him in the stomach,
and nobody said a word, because obviously Dean attended the rally, like the big school whatever pep rally,
yeah,
thing about after the death. Assembly. That's the word.
Yes.
Like I said, it's been a while since I've been in high school.
Assemblies. Oh my goodness.
Truman High. Home of the Bombers.
Home of the Bombers.
I also like the fact that no point did Dean like explain anything more than dodgeball and like did not split into teams. Just when Sam needed to talk, opened it up and was like, just go to town, kids. Figure your shit out and just start throwing balls at each other. I don't care.
They're like, our gym teacher doesn't let us do dodgeball. She's not here.
Well, she's getting married, so. Damn, Dean, do I sense a little, like, jealousy in that voice?
About getting married? Yeah, uh-huh. I want to talk about stuff, but I have stuff in my tiddly bits that I'll go into more detail. Like, I Spit on Your Grave.
Hmm.
Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then you know.
I guess before we jump into some tittles, since a lot of this will probably tie into your tittles and bits.
They're separate. Tittles and bits are separate.
Tittles and bits, yes.
Yeah.
Like kibbles and bits, but...
But tittles and bits.
But tittles and bits with
Missy.
And
bits and bits and bits.
I liked and didn't like how this episode ended. I liked when Sam went in and was just like, hey, I want to let you know, like, as a teacher, you really, like, touched me. You really, like, shaped me how I was. Just to show you that, like, even the littlest things, it could be an adult, it could be a teacher, it could be an older student. Like, just taking that interest and just asking some thought-provoking questions can really change somebody.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes that outside perspective for you to, like, be questioned on your beliefs, because you can convince yourself of anything.
Right.
It's learning to challenge those thoughts and see what you really want. And then I think that's what happened again at the end when he's like, so, well, I'm glad you did all that. You know what? But are you really happy?
Yeah.
And again, I think that's something that Sam was, one, not prepared for, because he's never had anyone ask him that since.
Right.
And two, I don't think Sam ever took the time to really think about it. Because they're going day to day, and especially with everything else going on, they're not able to really think too far into the future. I mean, we're like 65.999999 seals broken already, so.
You tend to forget about that when we don't chat about seals. You know? Like, where's Caspin? Angel break?
Yeah, he's on Angelcation.
Sometimes you forget he's even in the season. Where'd Cas go? I don't know. Uriel's not trying to kill other angels, so I guess we're not here on Earth. Even Ruby. Broby.
Yeah, where's she? What's she doing today?
I don't know. Not taking Sam in dark alleys to places. She didn't want to follow them to high school. She was like, nope, I'm done. And it was weird at the end how, like, the Sam and Dean roles changed. Like, Sammy was the one that was getting congratulated, and he was, like, the, you know, Mr. Popular at the time. And then Dean looked like he got kicked in the nuts when that girl was like, you're, like, immature little boy.
Because she hit too close to home. That's exactly what he is.
Yeah. Oh, in the feels.
Like, he doesn't, when he told Sammy, like, I don't do parents.
Right.
Because you don't do commitment. You don't do vulnerability. You don't, because your dad didn't teach you any of that stuff. Your dad taught you to not get attached.
Well, yeah, because you're not going to be around for very long.
Mm-hmm.
Not until Cassie.
And even then. And it's still something Dean's hung up on.
Oh, Dean.
But yeah, I did think the age jump was real weird. That was probably my biggest problem with this entire thing.
So weird.
But we don't get to learn any more about the seals for two more episodes.
Really?
Yep. We don't find out about another one until Death Takes a Holiday, which is episode 15.
Well.
So we break another seal.
Probably like 30 more. They've overbroken seals. They're like, oh, we're on seal 87. Oh, wait, that was too many. That was too many seals.
I just like the fact that we went from like, hey, all right, so we're starting to break seals. Nothing, nothing, nothing. 34 seals have been broken of the 66. Okay, and then we don't hear anything. And I don't know if we're just still on the 34, and then we're trying to break a seal, and then we're trying to break another seal.
You've never tried it?
And then in one episode, you literally have like three seals break. Because when the Levy breaks, it's just like seal, 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 seal,
seal, seal, seal, seal.
Weird ones. It's like 10 species go extinct. 15 fishermen go blind.
Well, holy shit.
Like 60-some school kids get locked in a room and die. I don't...
That's a seal? Holy crap.
I think that happens. If I remember right, it's been a while. We won't get to it in two episodes. Because that all happens, supposedly, when the Levy breaks. I'm pretty sure. And then all of a sudden we go to like 66 seals.
And they're all gone. Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. That's what we look forward to.
Okie dokie.
Oh, man.
Tittles and bits.
Tittles and bits. I think it's tittles and bits time.
Tittles and bits. Tittles and bits. Okay. Eighth grade Sam wrote a paper about his family killing a werewolf in the previous summer. Dean also told the same story to Gordon in season 2, Bloodlust. Episode Bloodlust.
Huh. I didn't put that together that they told the same story.
I did not either. The exterior of Sam and Dean's old high school is the same exterior used to shoot the pilot episode of The Vampire Diaries and Smallville, which are other shows on the CW. This episode has the same name as one episode in season 4 of Vampire Diaries. Fittingly, the actress who plays Amanda Heckerling in this episode, who is Candace Acola, is a regular on The Vampire Diaries, and she plays Caroline Forbes.
Huh. My friend Erin has to be losing her mind. She loves The Vampire Diaries.
And Jensen Ackles' persona in this episode as a gym teacher is similar to his character on Smallville, Jason Teague.
Huh. I never really watched Smallville, so I didn't catch that.
I did not either. Can't get into that. That's just me. Truman High, home of the bombers. Harry S. Truman was the U.S. president during World War II. It was his decision to drop 2 atomic bombs on Japan in hopes of finally getting the Japanese military to stop fighting. So that's why they're the bombers. So punny.
That's not good.
Dad made up that name. It was a dad joke.
That was definitely a dad joke.
Dean's alias as a temporary teacher is Coach Roth, a nod to David Lee Roth, singer of the band Van Halen. The gym teacher Dean is substituting for is said to be in Massachusetts getting married. That is implying that she is marrying another woman, since at this time the episode aired, Massachusetts was one of the only few states where gay marriage was legal.
Okay.
Or she could have just had family in Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's she could have grown up there. We don't know.
Yeah, I feel like they're making an assumption.
Just I mean, either way,
teacher.
Either way, does it really matter?
It doesn't. It matters to the people at IMDb who wrote that.
Obviously, marrying the person she loves.
Exactly. Be happy with whoever you want.
Mm-hmm.
A young Dean mentions magic fingers in his sweet setup at a local motel. As we all know, Dean loves the magic fingers, and he has mentioned them in other episodes. Although they didn't appear together, both Jensen Ackles and Brock Kelly, who both played Dean Winchester in this episode, appeared on Days of Our Lives. So Brock was the Days of Our Lives actor also.
Interesting. I don't remember that. And I watched Days of Our Lives. I remember Jensen, but...
Not Brock. Broccoli. Brock Kelly. Broccoli. Oh, that's good. I just thought of that.
That's good.
Kanan, I don't know how to pronounce the last name, Wibe, plays a bully in Supernatural Wistful Thinking and the victim of a bully on After School Special. The actor also had a small role in the episode Faith. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Mr. Wyatt's English class is reading The Outsiders, published in 1967, the book about teenage social status. Cliques in the coming of age has often attracted controversy, although S.E. Hinton is a fan of the show, as reported here when a buddy TV, that's a thing, a buddy TV reporter visited the set. Said S.E. Hinton, the author of The Outsiders and Rumblefish, was hanging out with the boys as well. She is a huge Supernatural fan and asked Eric Kripke one day if she could pay a visit to the set, so he invited her out to Vancouver for a couple of days. She told me that she got into the show because she has an interest in paranormal stories, but then she fell in love with it because of the excellent stories and the mix of humor, drama, thrills, and chills.
I mean, that's what sold me.
Me too. Colin Ford, who plays Sam, age 14, also played Sam, age 8, in A Supernatural Christmas.
Okay, so he was 14.
14.
I thought he was 13. My bad.
How dare you get it off by a year, first of all. Brock Kelly, who played Dean in this episode, young Dean, had not watched an episode of Supernatural prior to getting the part. To prepare for his role, he watched the pilot episode and Supernatural, A Very Supernatural Christmas, several dozen times. Why wouldn't you watch more than those 2 episodes if you're going to watch 12 times?
Also, why that episode? You were getting, Dean and then, kid Dean?
Maybe he was trying to scope out, Colin. Maybe he was trying to see what Colin was doing since he was young Sam in Christmas, Supernatural Christmas.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't know at all. So Dan. Oh, my God.
Ooh.
I haven't done that in a while. When Dean's making out with the chick in the janitor closet, and he's like, let's go to a midnight showing of I Spit on Your Grave. That is not a date movie.
No.
That's not a date movie at all. Trigger warning right here. If rape is a trigger warning for you, then you just skip.
Tap out for like
skip this part. I had to watch that movie in college in my media criticism class. Now this, we had a rape revenge section, and that's what this movie is about. This girl gets gang raped, but then she ends up killing all the guys. She shoots the one guy in the dick, which I think is,
I mean,
fitting. But she tortures them and kills them the way, like, kind of like she was tortured. But that is not a date movie.
No, it is not.
Like that.
That's not even necessarily a watch with anybody you know kind of movie.
It is most definitely not watch with 25 other people you don't know in a college classroom. That's not a movie that you should be watching. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is seriously happening right now. Like the girl, the poor girl is like naked most of the movie. And we're sitting there watching it in class. It was baffled.
Well, and then, so what's worse is the fact that there was that. So you probably watched like what, the 1978 version?
Yes.
And then they remade it.
Are you kidding me?
In 2018 or 2010.
No.
And then they made a second and a third and a fourth.
That is not a premise that you should be making sequels to.
Because in 2010, they remade it as I Spit on Your Grave. Then in like 3 years later, there was I Spit on Your Grave 2. Then in 2015, because we couldn't wait 3 more years, we get I Spit on Your Grave 3, Vengeance is Mine. And then in 2019, they came out with a Spit on Your Grave Deja Vu.
What sick people did that? It was bad enough there was one. What sort of movie you need to remake and then make 3 more?
No.
Oh my god. I could have went without knowing that.
I'm sorry.
It's okay, now I'm informed. I thought there was only one.
Nope, there's the original, yeah, and then there's the remake.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, bringing it back.
Reeling it back in.
At San Diego Comic-Con in 2015, when asked if the Winchester brothers would defeat their new enemy of that season, Jared Padalecki replied, "Yeah, because we're not the Loosechesters." In this episode, the bully who terrorizes Sam and his friend Barry taunts Sam by saying, "Come on, Loosechester." And on a happier note, we're going to talk about Dean Schwartz. Justin Hackle had quite a hand in Dean's gym teacher costume. He said he based it on a gym teacher from his high school and described the bright red shorts to the costume department. When they came in, the costume department then altered the shorts to make them even tighter. The red shorts have become a common Dean trope used by fans of the show.
Which is funny, because I do have to admit that here you have one episode of that outfit, and it is one of his most iconic outfits.
Yes. My softball coach, when I was little, wore shorts like that. Those were like, he used to make baseball pants, like McGregor or something. And those were like softball coach pants or baseball coach pants. The first time I watched it, I was like, oh my God, those Mr. Like
golf shorts.
I was like, Mr. Andreone used to wear those pants.
Those are like golfing shorts.
But they're like tighter. They're like, so your booty pops.
Which also, where the hell did they get that? And that's just like such a short time frame.
I don't know. I think it's funny that
he was wearing her shorts. And that's why they were so tight.
Her altered shorts.
Yeah.
They're like, this is all we have.
Sorry, you got to squeeze in. And he's just like, I'll make these look good.
He's like, I got it. He's like, I'm actually going to take them home and sew them a little bit. Make them a little tighter. Wow.
Also, leave it to Dean to be like, hey, Sam, not only did I figure this out, and not only did I find more information that you wanted, I also found out 2 cheerleaders are illegal.
Of course he did.
Any other tittles and bits?
Nope, that's all my tittle bits. And then on a high note with the pants, kind of brought it down there toward the end, but...
The hot shorts. The hot pants.
Yeah, the hot pants. Brought it back. Brought it back with the hot pants.
The whistle may make you their god, but the pants make you iconic.
I want to see all the young teenage girls watching him walk down the hall. Because he went in the hallway, he had like a tracksuit over top of it.
Yeah, he put on like, we had it for a hot second. And I don't know if that point Jensen was just like, you know what? Okay, I did it. I don't want to do it again.
You have the high socks, the party socks on.
He's like, I just need pants. Just give me pants. Give me some snap away pants.
There's a making a comeback. Did you know that?
That's something I didn't need to know.
Tearaway pants coming back.
Why?
I don't know.
So are trip pants.
Because like, everything in the 90s is coming back.
I know, because Aaron and I went into Hot Topic, and instead of just having like regular jeans like they've had, or the skinny jeans or whatever, high-waisted,
yeah,
they have the trip pants back, the plaid ones with like the crisscross in the back.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, damn, okay, everything is coming back.
I made my own.
Oh, I definitely bought them.
Back in the day.
I definitely bought them.
Okay, what do you got?
So I don't have too much, because obviously we've gone over demonic possession, we've gone over vengeful spirits, but I did find a little bit of information on spirit possession.
Oh, that's why that was an interesting part of this episode, that the spirit could travel.
Mm-hmm. And it is in some places believed to be a thing.
Okay.
And it is slightly different than demonic possession. So spirit possession is a concept or disassociative phenomena that spirits can possess or impersonate human beings. And this belief or this possession is found in 90% of the world's population.
Wow, 90%.
Mm-hmm. Before I go any further, the sources that I used are bmpsychiatry.biomedcentral.com, researchoutreach.org, pubmed.ncbi.nlm.nih.gov. which is also known as the National Library of Medicine, and jstor.org. So according to author Emma Cohen, there are actually two types of spirit possession. The first one being pathogenic possession, in which a spirit can cause illness and misfortune for the individual, and the individual who is being possessed by the pathogenic possession can also at the same time be possessed by a non-pathogenically, or can also be non-pathogenically possessed.
Okay.
The second is executive possession, and that is where the spirit replaces the identity of the individual and turning them into a completely different person during the possession.
Ooh.
Now, according to Omani culture, and Omani culture is from Oman, a county or country in the Middle East, there are actually two grades of possession. First one. So we got two
A
types,
grade, B grade.
And we got two grades.
Okay.
I feel like I'm talking Jujutsu Kaisen now. High grade, low grade. So the first is intermittent disassociative phenomenon. And this is where the person is taken over by a spirit, usually a malevolent force. And this this grade is actually very similar to the pathogenic possession.
Okay.
The second grade is transitory disassociative phenomenon, in which the person is possessed for a short duration, usually during a stressful event or situation. Usually this type of grade is a relationship between the spirit and person, more symbiotic. So the person uses it as an escape and the spirit uses it as a way to take over. And usually the spirit involved in this is a benevolent spirit.
Okay.
So I think of the transitory disassociative phenomena kind of like Venom.
Okay.
From Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Where like they both are using each other. It's very symbiotic. Now, some of the beliefs are in spirit possession that these spirits can be ancestors, deities, ghosts of foreign origin, or alien.
Like aliens?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
These spirits can be removed through exorcism or can be permanently attached to the host.
That doesn't sound like a good time.
Well, usually that's more of a transitory. So what you have is that symbiotic, but where it's where the spirit will only take over the host from time to time.
Okay.
And in most cases, I'm sure there's like some agreement.
Do you agree that I can do this? Sure.
Now, spirit possession can be mistaken for multiple personality disorder.
Oh, crap.
Because if you think about it, especially with executive possession with executive possession, that spirit replaces the identity completely of the individual. So it doesn't even act or talk or speak like them. It doesn't have the mannerisms of them, which you would think with like a multiple personality disorder where you turn it off, turn it on. And if you've ever watched an episode of Criminal Minds that Jackson Rathbone, who played Jasper in Twilight, was in, that Matthew Gray Gubler, who plays Reed, directed, he was abused. So he created a personality, a strong female personality to take over in times.
Oh, okay.
When he couldn't deal to protect himself.
Yeah.
Now, there are two types of spirit possession mentioned in the Bible. One being benign, the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Two being malignant, Satan or the devil.
Ugh, the devil.
Spirit possession exists in Christianity, Buddhism, voodoo, or Haitian voodoo, Wicca, Southeast Asian, African, Hinduism, and Islam religions. There is a term used to describe a form of spirit possession in Northern African, Eastern African, and Middle Eastern societies called Zar. And Zar in Farsi actually means feeble, languid, weak, and is derived from Persian. It could also come from the Arabic Zahar, meaning he visited, which ties into possession. And in Hofriel, Zahar means he became visible, perceptive, or perceptible, or manifest, which is another version of spirit possession. Now, Zar covers like a whole kind of, it's just a term that overwhelms and overbears. So Zar is the type of spirit, is a name for the illness caused by a spirit who possesses the living, and to the rituals needed to pacify and release the spirit.
How do you know which one you're talking about? Is it like there?
Yeah. Depends on what you're talking about. So now here are just some names that some of the places use for spirit possession. And if I mess these up, it's because I can't speak some languages. But I will do my best.
How are you not fluent in every language?
We'd have some issues if I was. So there's Shaitani, which is among the Digo of South Kenya coast. There's the Liban Shaitan from Chad. Shaitani, which is among the Saguji Swili speakers in Tanzania. And then some of the names for the spirits themselves are Bori from Nigeria and North Africa, Saka or Pepo from Wataita of Kenya, Trumba and Patros from Comoro Islands, Takuka among the Nimbembo of Zambia, and Holi, or specifically Hauka, H-A-U-K-A, among Songhai. And those are names of the spirits. So everybody kind of has like an idea of spirit possession.
Yeah.
But the problem you run into is it gets really mistaken for demonic possession. And even in demonic possession, you have to basically break everything down and make sure that you're dealing with demonic possession or spirit possession and not multiple personality disorder.
Wow.
But that's all I got. There wasn't too much on spirit possession. It kept crossing over into demonic possession. And I was like, I don't want demonic possession, even though demonic possession is essentially kind of a form of spirit possession.
Is there like a checklist? Is there like a checklist you go down so you can you know, kind of rule out one or the other?
So let me see if I can find it. I didn't save it because I was like, this might happen. Okay, so here it goes. So here's your 4-step approach for management.
Okay.
So 1, awareness. So that's where you find obsession, oppression, possession. You already know you're dealing with something. You go to anticipate. So you go to risk factors. Psychosocial, life history, trauma, recent childhood trauma, occult practices, cult rituals, that kind of stuff. Then you go to assess, and that's where you find, like, you go through clinical histories. So hallucinations, behavioral problems, spirit possession signs, mental illness. And then once you figure that out, you go to consideration. So you go to like a medical exam, psychological exam. Can you be saved through prayer alone? And if not, then do you need an exorcism?
We went down the flow chart and you're going to need an exorcism.
But they take that stuff really, really seriously.
Yeah.
Because a misdiagnosis can have like severe social stigmas and like emotional consequences for like the family, the loved ones of the person, and the victim themselves.
Right. Interesting. I never thought of a ghost possessing a person.
Yeah. And like other things too. So like if your kid had like a history, like a very traumatic childhood, who then finds themselves in a cult practice, like Ouija boards and like Wicca, then you're more particularly vulnerable for like demonic or spirit possession because you're opening yourself up and you're not as strong as somebody who like had a less traumatic childhood.
Yeah.
All right. So next episode that we will be doing is episode 14, sex and violence.
You kind of sounded like Gru there for a second.
I do what I can. And it's another episode directed by Charles Beeson.
Yay!
Hey. So that's what we have to look forward to, I guess.
I'm excited.
It's an interesting one.
I don't remember it, so.
It's got White Zombie in it.
Oh, okay.
We go to a strip club.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Also, this is like the one where, like, obviously they couldn't say certain things on TV.
Like what, Liz?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the fact that, like, Dean says C-blocked me.
Whatever could he be referring to?
I have no idea. He's such a proper gentleman.
I want an unfiltered episode.
I think that's so dangerous.
Like when they were on Ghost Facers.
Oh, God. But as always, guys, thank you so much for listening. If you like this episode, go ahead and share it. Give us a like. If you want to rate us, you can. Hopefully it's good. If not, we take constructive criticism very well.
We do.
You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can send us a DM. You can email us. And tune in next time when we talk about season 4, episode 14, Sex and Violence.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Not to be confused with Sex and Candy.
That's no.
Different. That's a different thing.
It's very, very, very different.
Yeah. Okie dokie.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
The Balls, a Supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy. If you want more, follow on Twitter and Instagram at SBNBallsPod or email SBNBallsPod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe and follow Balls on your favorite streaming service.